Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. O Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavari Paskatyare Sadarine Jede Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. O Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, today I would like to again address a subject matter which many years ago in Belgrade was the subject of the divided soul. It is known that there are not only one voice in us, but there are other voices as well in us. It seems in the house of our personality there are many rooms and there live many people with various agendas. For instance, why talk beautifully? Why not talk directly? We may practice in our life to live a healthy diet, because we know that eating unhealthy is not so good for us. But there's also a voice in us who wants to live and enjoy. Today Gaur Krishna asked me, there is a chance that our cook will prepare pizza for you this evening, because we have cheese from cows that are cared for and not killed. We have ahimsa cheese. Now, I know I have not eaten pizza since a long, long time, and it is, for my personality type, not extremely healthy. So Gaur Krishna asked me, so how would you like the pizza to be done? Would you like to do normal flour, not this healthy flour like the devotees eat? You know, they eat this white flour. And would you like things on the pizza? And I said, Gaur Krishna, I may be a healthy person. I may live healthy for about 90, I don't know how much percent of the time. But today is the evening of enjoyment. I will eat a proper pizza with caperis and olive. I will drown it in olive oil, the pizza. I will do everything which my doctor told me not to do. Because there is this other voice in me also, the fun lover. No? I have given the most harmless example I can give. What is about sexuality, the taboo that always breaks through in our movement and we are all shocked and another scandal has happened. Could it be that that is a site which is within everyone, a desire to enjoy like the person who eats a pizza no matter what? Could it be that that was a long suppressed desire and it didn't work, the philosophy of suppression? What is about quarrels in devotee's life? When a husband who knows he should be peaceful all of a sudden beats his wife, could it be that there is an aggressive part in him which he only suppressed and after some time it didn't work any longer? We are divided people. We have many voices in us. And although we try to be good, especially when we take to a spiritual journey with spiritual growth, what is with these voices that are still within? Do they stop just because Barbara turns into Braj Mandal Devi Dasi? Is it that simple? Today is a time for you to address your own dividedness and to perhaps see if there are ways, spiritual ways, in which you can stop the tension that is going on between the various voices. They don't always have to be in tension, but you know, so that we are all awake, I make it a little dramatic, if you allow. Great devotees have addressed this question. They have prayed to Krishna that Krishna, please do something in me that I feel attracted to you only. And our protagonist in prayer during this session, Kunti Devi, is no exception. She also addresses this hardcore subject of spiritual life and practice. In her prayers, there are various sections. She starts with, let me find this for you, with the question, how can I know you who am so unfortunate and imperfect? She lists later in her prayers a few qualifications that are necessary to approach the Lord. And she does some Leela Kirtan and Guna Kirtan of Krishna by thinking about Krishna's amazing qualities. She discusses Krishna in the social media, you know. I'm saying it like this. That is, opinions about why Krishna appeared. And finally, towards the very end of her prayers, she addresses this question of the divided soul. She had expressed earlier that her being attached to various family members, you know, to the Kauravas and the Pandavas, you know, these two parties went into the war, has caused her incredible pain. She said because of her being attached to both sides, so to say, and having relatives on both sides, there were two opposing forces tearing on her heart. And so in utter frustration, she says, I want that my attachment is no longer divided over many things in this world. I wanted to go only to you. Would you like to sing a prayer? Yes. I think yes, because it makes a little musical. Tvayi menanya vishaya. Tvayi menanya vishaya. Matir madu pate sakrit. Matir madu pate sakrit. Ratim udvahatat ada. Ratrim udvahatat ada. Gange vogam udanvati. Gange vogam udanvati. She prays. It's a very beautiful prayer. And it is also a prayer which we have to think about a little. It's a little subtle. O Lord of Madhu, Krishna, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. My dear devotees, once you attain unalloyed love, the consciousness which you have is turned into an unstoppable stream that goes in one direction. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, just as the Ganga always carries its waters to the ocean, the final abode of all small and large rivers, so may my mind attain you, the abode of all devotees. No? We can imagine, or we can see in our mind's eyes the beautiful stream of the Ganga in the afternoon. It's a little greenish. And it is green, yellow, you know, it's beautiful and cooling and refreshing. And it goes and it does something. It has such a powerful current that it removes all the hindrances and obstacles that stand in its way. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, may my mind always be full of attachment to you, Krishna. And as the Ganga sweeps away all the obstacles on her path, so may my mind pay no attention to the obstacles that arise when thinking of you. I think we all notice you. When we are able to think a little of Krishna, the obstacle is that all of a sudden we see of the latest Netflix series, we think of it that we have seen. Or we try to concentrate our mind, but it becomes tired and sweeps back into an unwillingness to think of Krishna. So here the prayer is, just as the Ganga sweeps away all obstacles on her path, may my mind just remove all the pay no heed, means pay no attention to the obstacles which come. Now, this type of thinking has been severely criticized in the Hare Krishna movement. People have said, we don't care for devotees. People have said it's better to stay a visitor to the temple, because then you always get nice prasadam, than to become a devotee and just get the ordinary prasadam. Devotees and non-devotees alike in our movement have criticized thinking exclusively of Krishna, because they felt that makes the heart cold towards others. Where are you in this discussion? We will have some discussion later. Are devotees perhaps cruel-hearted, or is their personalities dysfunctional in communication? I think some of us, yes, we can. We feel uncomfortable to share something with others. No, that cannot communicate. Yes. So, does Kunti Devi think she should now ignore the Pandavas, for instance, because she wants exclusive attachment to Krishna? I think you know that Kunti Devi knows how important relationships to devotees are. And I think you know she is a queen. She can't be blocked, you know, or psychologically not functioning well, you know. What is in her mind? And the best one to explain it is really Srila Prabhupada. First, Prabhupada will talk about material relationships, and then he will talk about spiritual relationships. He will say material relationships are not desirable, but spiritual relationships are very desirable. And he will give an example for this. Would you like to hear, Prabhupada? Why? It's interesting, I think. Do you like? So the skin relation, this is material relationships, is the cause of material bondage. But the relation of the soul to the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the medium of the relationship with the super soul. And this is now a difficult concept, so he will offer an example that helps us to understand. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. Yesterday I was brought by two very kind devotees to our house, and it was dark. And I tried to see in the darkness, and it was not possible for me to recognize their faces. But tomorrow, today, when the sun was up, by the sun, I could definitely see the two wonderful, clear faces of the bright-faced devotees. So in a relationship, my dear devotees, if I talk just about material things, you know, shoot Donald Trump to the moon or anything subject like this, no? If I talk, or if I am interested in another person because of their knowledge, their money, that's a big thing in ISKCON, their beauty and so on, then this is a material relationship, no? But if I am interested in another person and have a relationship with Krishna in the center, then I see the person. What does this mean, to put Krishna in the center of a relationship? Well, it manifests in your talks. You talk about spiritual, about Krishna with others. You invite a person, why don't we cook something nice for Krishna, offer it, and then share it together? No? You talk about something which most of you are deadly afraid of. I have for 10 years studied the conversations of normal devotees. I always make a mental note after each discussion, so be careful when you talk with me. What was the other talking? Was there some Krishna in the talk? Mostly it's not. So in a spiritual relationship, you would put spiritual things. You would talk about your spiritual master. You would perhaps address difficulties which you have in your relationship with your spiritual master, and asked if the other person could help you to overcome them. And by joining together on the mission of spiritual life, you would shed light into the relationship, and it becomes very nice. Do you notice when the devotees during a lecture or seminar are asked to talk about specific questions which relate to spiritual life, how happy the atmosphere becomes in the room? Have you noticed? And how they talk, and it's difficult to stop them talk, because they step out of the darkness of material relationships and enter the relationship with Krishna. This is revolutionary in our movement. So I'm sorry, I'm making Norse German jokes, but no one laughs about these things. Maybe I have to make Italian jokes. My dear devotees, when I am invited for a marriage ceremony, and normally no one listens to the lecture, they want to see the swaha, swaha, and the lifting of the veil, and the 1,000 times where they look at each other. It's supposed to be the first time. When this is there, I say always, because no one listens to the lecture, I say, wait, I want to say something, which this marriage, there should be a third person in the marriage. What? Everyone knows if the man loves secretly another woman, or the woman writes to Donald Trump, please kidnap me, then there is a problem. So third person in a marriage is a problem. And I say, please listen carefully. The third person should be Krishna. And I have, there is a very enlightened God sister. I will not tell her name because I don't think she would be comfortable. I just said to her, after 50 years of marriage, what is your understanding? She said, Maharaj, I don't know myself, and I know that my husband doesn't know me. I'm an eternal soul. Maharaj, and I know my husband doesn't know himself, and he knows that I don't know him. So there's four times not knowing. This means maha darkness. We cannot function well in darkness. We have to bring Krishna in it. The moment we do it, then there is seeing. And this devotee, great Vaishnavi, great saint, is a temple president somewhere. Yes, woman temple president. Exalted Prabhupada disciple. She really brought this knowledge to out, that she said, look at this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada about relationship, in ISKCON we now talk about relationship seminars and so on. This is a very, very important thing. If you want to read it in your own time, I know no one of you reads, but maybe a few like to read. It's first Canto, chapter 8, verse 42. No? You have to be patient to read to the end. It is in the end section of the purpose. Trying to love others in this world is like trying to see in pitch darkness. As souls, we naturally yearn for love. We want to feel kinship with others. It's like, our eyes like to see not darkness, but colors and shapes. In the same way, we want to feel love and affection and kindness. It's in every movie nowadays that this is a value which is highly valued in the time. But in order to do that and not cause further pain, you have to bring Krishna in the relationship so that there is Krishna also present. Is this clear to you? How can you bring Krishna in a relationship? I would love if you turn now to a neighbor. I know some of us are deadly afraid to talk to others about spiritual matters. Just overcome yourself. Be brave. How can you bring Krishna in your relationships? And something realistic, Anuradha, something that you might even do when you leave this room. It's so realistic. So, I will go with Gaur Govinda. Can you, well, first you look at me. Can you find a neighbor first? Maybe you two go together? Yeah. Andre, have you found a neighbor? Yeah. So, Hare Krishna, our question is, how can we spiritualize our contact with others? Perhaps let's start with devotees, but let us not forget the people on the street. There are wonderful people outside. By bringing Krishna into the relationship. It's a very sensitive question. And I would like you to make this an honest discussion. If something inspires you, either what you say or what you hear another person say, then I would request you to do it outside the room here. When this session is finished, no, I will walk around you and see, record the talks which you have, so that you have a point of reference. No, Hare Krishna.
Let me start.
Courage. did this, I mean, then you went to the
on the summer camp? Yes, good, 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 good. As human beings, we have definitely two sides in us, two voices in us. This was brought out by an author who wrote one of the classics of the world literature. Amazingly, this book was completed in two nights. You know, he wrote day and night, and it was completed in two nights. He would have loved to write more, but his wife saw that he had not rested, and therefore interrupted his writing, and then the flow of his mind stopped. Initially, he was angry at his wife, but then he understood that his wife was kind to him. I'm speaking of Louise Stevenson and his book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So there is a very interesting discussion behind this book, or a thought behind this book. The figure, Dr. Jekyll, was a very good person, but he noticed that also, even in his life, there were desires under the surface of his personality, which were not good. He was known in the neighborhood as an absolute integer, character strong person, but he knew that inside of him there were some unbecoming things. I think when we are honest with us, we also sometimes see that we are perhaps a little bit too judgmental at times, or we are too proud at some times, or we have desires that, I mean, if we would put a loudspeaker on our mind and the whole world would hear them, we would be ashamed. So Dr. Jekyll asked himself a question: what if I could separate this disturbing part of my personality from my good part, then I would be totally good. I would not have a tension in me. Should I stay or should I go? Should I do this or should I let it go? I would be totally in one piece. And what to do with the disturbing part? Well, let him go out. And he can go to the prostitutes in the harbor, down in the London harbor. So he made an experiment until he had found the right... Yeah, thank you. He had made the right serum. I also made the serum today for me. Not too much. Thank you. And then he drank it. And when he drank it, he turned into his alter ego, his other self, a low-class person, hair all over his face. This is not against birds or so on, but... Anyways, and he left the house through the entrance for the servant, a back door, so to say, and he went into London and did really very bad things. You can, it is described. And in the morning he would return, he would again take the juice and turn into the good Dr. Jekyll. This went on for some time until something dramatic happened. The lower part of himself, which he indulged means he lived it out, became nourished and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. I think we all know this. When we give in to harmless things, you know, there are harmless distractions and diversions, you know that it becomes stronger. I think you all know it is not good to see too many, to see movies with violent and sexual content. And if you see it, after some, you want to see something more and more and more. It does not satisfy you. I give a harmless example, a relatively harmless example. You know, once you lose the spiritual track of reading and chanting and engage in other things, it's hard to get back to it and get back on track. Do you know or no? Or Maharaj, don't ask these questions in the lecture. We are here in Serbia, we don't talk about the dark side of the moon. I will not talk too much about the dark side of the moon. Don't worry. He found out, that's why this is a book of world literature, because it really hits upon some truth, that the bad side became stronger and stronger and stronger until he could not return to his good side any longer. Yes, a book which some of you must have heard. There are movies about this subject. It's one of the thoughts. So I think we all have know what we are talking about. Therefore, there is a prayer. Yuvatinam yatayuni. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvato yata manobiramate tatvan manome ramatam tvayi. This verse describes a person who has not yet developed ecstatic love for Krishna, and he is divided sometimes. So he gives an example. He says how he wants his love to Krishna be, how naturally, how originally, how normal and healthy he wants his love for Krishna to be. He says, "Oh my Lord, may my mind always find pleasure in you. Just as the mind of a young girl finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young boy. And the mind of a young boy finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young girl. May my attraction to you be as natural as I feel in my heart. I still have these material desires. I have one godbrother. He's very philosophical. His good name is Ravindra Swarup. He likes to quote one Christian saint, Augustine, who wrote a book called The Confessions. Who of you has read this book? A few. He's very brutally honest in this book, no? And there he says, "As a youth, I was most wretched, and especially so at a threshold. Threshold means when you come to puberty, no? I would ask for chastity. Chastity means no sexual engagement. Saying, please bestow chastity and abstinence unto me, my Lord. Please give me chastity and abstinence, but not immediately. I feared that you, my Lord, would instantly hear me and heal me from the evil passion when in actuality I preferred to quench it, you know, live my passions, rather than to extinguish it. I think we sometimes, you know, in prayer, we have to be careful with prayers which we don't really want. Oh, Krishna, let me die immediately, now where I can think of you always. I don't think that is good. Well, it's good to pray in one way, but not literal, you know, because you ask Krishna to finish your life, you know, that I think no one is prepared to do, especially because today evening is pizza, you know. So there are some prayers which we cannot yet pray. And Augustinus, he is very honest about it. He said, yes, I sometimes half-heartedly prayed to you to give, but in reality, I wanted the exact opposite. I think that we have to look at our prayers also. Are they honest prayers, or are they prayers because, you know, do we pray them because they are there? My dear devotees, there are opposing forces tearing at our hearts. Our soul wants to get closer to God. I was talking today, just now, with a wonderful devotee. The devotee said, I like to be here in this association because these devotees are so amazing. They really are following Krishna. They want to go to Krishna. And when he said it, I said, oh yeah, why do I always criticize the devotees? That's not good. Why do I always see the dark side of the moon? When I should look at the bright side. So that devotee helped me to see the bright side, the good side of us. So there is this side in all of you. You are great saints according to Krishna because you are on the right path. A voice that draws you closer to Krishna. You seek for Krishna, you hanker for him. But often this voice becomes weak when the demands of your mind and flesh, the body, is there for material pleasure. Therefore, it is important in the beginning to become aware of the split, the divide between the mind and the heart. And it is important to feel acute pain. When we pray to the Lord, oh Lord, I want what is in the east, I want you, but at the same time I'm going into the west. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. No? As long as you're honest with you and see what's inside, what is tearing inside of you, you have a chance to correct yourself. As long as you see, oh, there is this part in me which is not good for my spiritual development. I don't want it. I'm at the moment a little weak to absolutely stop it, but I can see it harms me. At that moment, you're good. You're on the fine road. But if you rationalize, justify that weak side in you, no one, not even God, can change your mind. I know of a couple in America where the husband regularly has left his wife to sport and play with another woman. And the wife was giving up on the husband and wanted a divorce and came to me. And I said, I'm not educated in relationships, but I know something about psychology. And perhaps from that area, I can help you. Does your husband think it's okay to go to another woman and to sport and play with her? Or does your husband feel that, oh, I'm so weak at the moment that I'm constantly betraying our relationship, but I won't? And the woman said, that's a good question. I don't know really. I said, try to find it out. And then I gave her an example which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam. It describes the split devotee, the divided devotee. This verse says, my devotee knows that material enjoyment cannot make the soul happy, but due to weak-heartedness, he cannot stop material enjoyment. This devotee there is no problem. He should just continue to hear about me. This is the verse. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, sometimes a devotee may be like a drunkard who wants to give up drinking. He knows drinking is killing my body. Drinking is killing my relationships with my family. Drinking is killing my driving skills. Our car is no longer safe from me. But he can't stop drinking at the moment and continues to drink. But while he drinks, he thinks, oh, no, it's not good. It's not good. Such a devotee should be happy and has chances to improve. Or let us give a more harmless example, which is more with us. We sometimes eat too much. And when we are over a certain age, when we eat too much, it kills us. So when someone, let us say, is eating, and then maybe he's frustrated in his life or not happy and so on, and he eats more and more. And as he eats, he begins to understand, oh, wait a minute, I'm killing myself. What am I doing? Such a person has chance to change. Or let us say someone oversleeps constantly, sleeps too long, and he goes, oh no, I'm again sleeping too long. There's no time for sadhana and spiritual life in my busy day. And while he lies and tries to sleep, he thinks, oh no, what am I doing? He has a chance. But the person who justifies, oh no, sleeping is healthy, or the one who eats, he says, now is the chance, it's for free, eat, you know. Or I don't want to give the more heavy examples, you know. He has no chance. He cannot go the good path. I want to now end and give you some ideas, an idea, how you might deal with this dividedness inside. All our spiritual life, it starts with association, yes. But what we aim at in our spiritual life is to change our dress. Is that correct? Not entirely. What we aim at our spiritual life is to change the recipes. Yes, of course we want vegetarian, but it's not the aim. What do we want to change in our spiritual life? The heart or the mind? the thinking. That is what we want to do. And there is a principle. It's from the Upanishad. Jato yato pasate tat eva bhavanti. One becomes what he meditates on. What you regularly think, that is what you become. Narottam Das Thakur says, Sadhane bhavibo joho, sita dehe bhavu toho. I'm trying to speak Bengali. It must sound very, very ridiculous. Whatever I aspire and contemplate during the practice of devotional service will certainly be achieved upon perfection in a spiritual body. It's only a consideration of immaturity and maturity. So what I think of doing my practice is like an immature, unripe mango. But if I continue to think about this, my dear devotees, then the mango will become ripe. It will become mature. This idea of thinking and then changing your life from your thoughts, not from your dress, not from your hairstyle, not from your recipe point, but from your thinking, has been discovered perhaps 15 years ago by modern scientists who have studied the workings of the brain. I speak of neuropsychologists. They have confirmed that regular deep thought on a certain object physically changes the structure of the brain by creating new neuron networks. Think of your brain as patterns, and when there is a stimuli, boom, the patterns become activated and you act in a very predictable way. In the typical, let us say your name is Hansa, I don't want to use a name that is known. Hansa Priya, what you think regularly, it changes the neurons. Or to say it in simple words like Joe Dispenza and his colleagues, what fires together wires together. The new wiring, a new pattern of thought comes. It's the other so-called neurotransmitters. They create new genes and or new brain stuff and so on. And thereby, it is affecting the whole body. So the problem is, if we try to change our behavior but don't do anything about our thought patterns, our mind, it is called repression or suppression. It will work for some time, but not for a long time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Just changing your behavior without changing the wiring inside will only be realistic for a little time. And ISKCON, the way we deal with it, we are always very shocked when someone does something which we did not expect. I think we shouldn't be so shocked. We should ask, has he changed something inside? Or has he just suppressed the old persona? No? This is a good question. It is... there is a rule, my dear devotees, a general rule. If you have an impure heart or a mind, a materially influenced mind, you will not be able to think pure thoughts. You will think normal thoughts. Now, Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha gives us a number of suggestions how we can rewire the brain. Would you like to know them? Good. Then I suggest you take your notebook or your mobile telephone out and make notes, because this is precious. This is, you don't want to forget this. This is how you rewire yourself. This is how you can change yourself. He says, once heart and mind become pure by first of all surrendering. That is, you don't do what you like to do, then you will always remain the same. You do something for the pleasure of Krishna and surrender to that. There's so much benefit when Bhakti Granda says we need 10 vegetable cutters. And you think, I'm not a vegetable cutter. I can work on computer, ask me on computer. But then you say, well, if there is no vegetable cutters, there will be no breakfast. So, breakfast? Do you eat vegetables for breakfast? Maybe noon prasadam, no? And then you get out of your regular activities and you do something just for Krishna. My dear devotees, look at Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and look at myself. We both went for book distribution on the street. He lasted longer than me, but I also tried. For me, this is very difficult to stop someone, give them a book they didn't want to have. They didn't go to, you know, it's not on their shopping list. And then try to convince them to take the book. And then ask them for money. That's the most difficult part for me always. But I did it. And it has helped me so much to give up some part of my arrogance and bad character and so on. So surrender or do something out of the norm. That's how it starts with Jiva Goswami. Then the next thing is serve devotees who embody the truth. In other words, go to devotees who are devoted and who are Krishna conscious, who are the real thing, you know, and do something in service to them. Do service to devotees who embody the truth. Just say, can I help you? Is there something, perhaps your wash, can I wash your shirts? I'm a first class washer and I have found a place where it can dry very nicely, you know, and so on. And then more than anything, the last thing is, hear about Krishna and sing about Krishna, his name, his forms, everything about Krishna. When you have done this, my dear devotees, surrender, serve devotees, and hear and chant, then your heart becomes pure, and then you will have different thoughts, and then it will be easy for you to have different activities in your life that change. What do you think? Let's try, no? I think it is a call for action, these points from Jiva Goswami. If you want to find it in the books, it's in the Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 275. Prabhupada gave, however, a still more simple formula. With this, Jiva Goswami's formula is not to be disregarded. Prabhupada said we have to change our thinking. We need to learn and practice to think of Krishna. And then he gave an analogy, which I find will be very practical for the Serbian devotees or the devotees who live here in the beautiful land of the Balkans. He said, we should learn the simple art to think of Krishna from the Indian ladies. The Indian ladies will do many household duties, cooking chapatis, taking care of their children, cleaning the house, cleaning the washes, the dirty cloth. But they somehow always find time to look at their hair. Is it good? Is it all right? And I think the ladies amongst you know this. When you go out of the temple room, I've seen some of you looking just quickly on the door to see is their hair all right, you know. This is a normal automatic thing, because when one has hair, the hair can go all over. Even the men know it with their sikha. I always, before I go out, I make sure that my sikha doesn't stand in the direction of the moon, but I take it down because it looks so foolish, you know. So in the same way, as you regularly check your hair, you should check, do I think ordinary thoughts or do I think of Krishna? And you should direct your thought. You can do it. The moment you become aware, you can think, okay, what did I read today? Okay, how can I think of Krishna? There was some lecture in the Serbian summer camp where Queen Kunti told us how to think of Krishna. Why don't I try that? No problem, it's in the scriptures. And so on. And as you do this, you will rewire or restructure or reorient your brain. What do you think? It's a good thing, no? Tomorrow, I'm at the present moment writing a book on Smaranam. According to Prabhupada's way, there are two forms of Smaranam. One is for Vaidhi Bhakti and one is for Raganuga Bhakti. Most of the devotees are not so interested in, or yeah, in our movement, we don't teach so much about Raganuga Bhakti. So my book is on Vaidhi Bhakti. How can a Vaidhi Bhakti think of Krishna? No, a devotee who follows prescriptions and so on. And there I give many, many suggestions from our Shastras and from Prabhupada's writing how to do this. But my dear devotee, when Queen Kunti Devi prays that her attraction flows to Krishna, she prays for the reorientation of her mind. She says, O Lord of the Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. That this verse can come true in our mind, we have to rewire our brain, or to say it in Krishna conscious terminology, we have to purify our heart. Mr. Jekyll's method, or Dr. Jekyll's method, to deal with the divided soul does not work. He was actually killed by his dark side at the end of the book. So you can only heal the divided soul by purifying the heart. And this is a very, very wonderful science. My dear devotees, I have looked at the wristwatch. We are a little late, like always. I therefore cannot take questions, but I think it was simple. How did you like Prabhupada's analogy? It seems to be practical, isn't it? It is a general check, you know. We already do a few general checks. We check, have we eaten enough? And so on. So this is a general Smaranam Czech. Good. Oh, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Imagine if I would drink this and turn into the dark side of Satchinandan Swami. You would, that would be something, you know, no? Maybe one day when no one listens to me any longer. But I would never try. I mean, these must be very heavy serums or drugs or so on. I stay with the chanting, you know, to purify the heart. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So nice to be with all of you. Really, thank you so much that you come. Thank you that we can explore these subjects about the divided soul. How do we continue? There will be at 7 o'clock an artic, and then in the evening, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, do you know? Are you giving an evening program, or what is the... Have you been approached? Yes. No. I have no alternative idea. So in the evening there is Kirtan with Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. No? Okay. So then, Hare Krishna. Let us make a little pause until then. Hare Bol.